If you'll turn to Matthew 28:19, read verses 19 and 20. I finished up on 1 Corinthians 10 last week, and I decided I'd switch off and teach a little doctrine. And so I picked baptism. And this is probably the most famous verse in the Bible for baptism. And let's read verses 19 and 20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, give us wisdom today that we might interpret your word correctly and understand it. Lord, touch every heart that's here with your word. We know, Lord, it is powerful, mighty, and God has changed our lives, and we'd like it to change it even more. We pray, dear Father, that you would touch any heart here that's lost, that they might be saved, and touch every child of God. May we be greater in love with your word and greater in love with you than we've ever been before. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Baptism is a very controversial subject, and there are just so many different things. Now, the word baptism is a transliteration of the word in Greek, but it didn't do it just in your Bible. It was in the English language long time before. Word baptism is what they used. Now, there are basically three forms of baptism, and that's sprinkling and pouring and dipping, or completely immersing. And the word baptism will stand for all of them. As when I was an 11-year-old boy, I was in the Methodist church, and I made a confession of faith, and they sprinkled. The preacher really literally stuck his hand in a bowl and sprinkled, and that was baptism. So I was a baptized member of the church at 11. Then when I married my wife, she was a much better Christian than I was, because I really wasn't one, but I compared myself to her. I said, you know. So she's going to a Baptist church, and they said, are you saved? I said, yeah. You believe in Jesus? Yeah, I did believe in Jesus. I believed the Bible. And so they said, well, you need to be baptized. Okay, I've been baptized. No, that's not baptism. Baptism is immersion. I said, okay. I figured there wasn't much difference between Methodist and Baptist, a little bit of water anyway, so I went ahead and got immersed. And then I was a member of the Southern Baptist Church, Pruitt Avenue Baptist Church here in San Antonio, Texas, and we went there. I got into the service in the military out in Roswell, New Mexico, and I got saved. I mean, I got changed. I mean, the Holy Spirit came on me and knocked me around. I mean, really transformed my life. And I went down to the front and been confessing to the preacher, you know, and tell him, man, God has really done this in my life. He said, you just get saved. I got saved. He said, here's two things you need to do. You need to get baptized. You need to start tithing. Well, I didn't know what tithing was. I said, what is tithing? He said, giving 10% of your income. I said, okay. I didn't make $196 a month with a wife and kids then. And I dropped a $20 bill in the offering plate, because I didn't even have a bank account. And that was the first month I didn't have to go and hock my suit, because I spent all my time at church. didn't cost me much. If $20 covered all the activities, when you think of it like that. But he said, baptism comes after salvation, son. I don't care how many times you had water put on you before. So I have been actually baptized three times. Now, most of the time when they baptize with using this scripture, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. You've heard that. In fact, that's the most common usage. And many people, not thinking it through, not studying it, not understanding it, think Father and Son and Holy Ghost are names. They're not. I'm a son. Now also a father and a grandfather, and bless my heart, a great-grandfather. Amazing. But if you read that verse, read it again. Name N-A-M-E. Name. Singular. One name. Father and Son and Holy Ghost are not names. So if you were baptized that way, and probably most of you were baptized that way, they use that form in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. That's all right, because we know what the name is. It's Jesus. Now, I'm going to prove that to you. I'm going to take you through some scriptures to show you that it's the name of Jesus and no other. And it is Jesus told these people, his disciples, this. This is what he said to them. You go, therefore, teach all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Now, you reckon they understood him? I think they did. I believe they understood exactly what he said. And I believe they obeyed him. They did exactly what he said. All right, let's take a look in the scripture. I'm going to read scriptures to you. I'm going to give you a lot of scriptures today. But I'm going to read scriptures to you, and I'm going to read you in this first section every scripture in the New Testament that you can tell anything about what they said in the baptism. Now, you're not always told this, they were baptized. But many scriptures tell you what they're doing. Now, look at Acts 2:38. Acts 2:38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Isn't that clear? What were they baptized? What name were they baptized in? According to your Bible, Peter told them to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. All right, look at Acts 8:12. But when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. They believed what Philip was preaching about the name of Jesus Christ, and then they were baptized. All right? Look at 8:16. You say, well, that's really not clear that they were baptized in the name of the Lord. It just says they believed the things in the name of the Lord. Well, go down a few verses. You know, it helps to read. It helps you a whole lot if you read. 8:16. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, talking about the Holy Spirit, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, that makes that clear, doesn't it? Do you reckon Philip understood what the Lord said when he told him to go baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? Or were they being disobedient here? They're not being disobedient. They understood that the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost is Jesus Christ. The Bible tells you plainly. Look in Acts 10:48. Now here we have the gospel coming to Cornelius and to his family and friends and people that were gathered in his house that were seeking God. And Peter goes down there to them. And these are the first Gentiles to get saved. Acts 10:48. And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord, then prayed to him to tarry certain days. After the Holy Spirit fell upon these Romans, these Gentiles, and they began to speak with tongues in other languages like they did in Acts chapter 2 with the Jews. Well, here the Gentiles do the same thing. And Peter and all these men that went down there with him, they are shocked. They didn't understand this. And then as they thought about it, he said, he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Now, I don't know if you know what the name of the Lord is, but I do. My Lord's name is Jesus Christ. Amen. And in fact, just Jesus. Jesus is the Christ. The Christ means the Messiah. But Lord Jesus Christ, Lord Jesus, you got it. So that's the way then the Gentiles came in. They were baptized in the name of the Lord. Now look at Acts 19:5. Acts 19:5. Here's another passage. Paul is going along and he finds this group of believers from John the Baptist ministry. And they'd been baptized under the teaching of John's teaching. And he said, he preached to them. He preached to them Christ. The Messiah has come. And he says, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Is that clear? That's pretty clear. Man, how come so many Christians miss it? How come so many Christians miss it? You know, one of the things is they don't really care what the Bible says. They claim they do. Oh, our church goes by the Bible. Well, I began with a concordance looking things up, and before long I found out there were a whole lot of things they didn't try to go by the Bible on. And that's the most important thing to me is not whether it's successful, not whether it works, not whether it's popular or not, not whether you like it or not, not whether it makes me popular or not. Is it biblical? Amen. I have in my head that this is the Word of God. Yeah. What I got in my hands. I'm not talking about some Greek somewhere, some yonder in some library somewhere. I'm talking about God's giving it to me in my hands. That's right. That's what I'm going to the judgment seat of Christ with this. So I look in this, and by the way, a good concordance is worth your money if you'll use it. Yes. Really is. Look at Acts 22:16. And I'm not dealing with all the problems or difficulties in each of these verses. I'm just looking for one thing. What were they baptized in? Acts 22:16. And now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized. Wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. So it looks like they're talking about the name of Jesus there too. Then turn to 1 Corinthians 1:13. 1 Corinthians 1:13. Is Christ divided? Well, no, we know he's not. He said, was Paul crucified for you? No. Who was crucified for you? Jesus, that's what he's telling. Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? No, you weren't baptized in the name of Paul. You didn't get baptized in the name of Lendl. You didn't get baptized in the name of your pastor, or the guy that led you to the Lord. You got baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, bless your hearts, that's all of the passages in the New Testament where you have anything said about what could have been said when they were baptized. Now, if you go back and look at Matthew 28:19 again, baptizing them in the name, that is singular, one name. I believe that they were full of the Holy Ghost. I believe that what they said was the truth of God. I believe they understood Jesus. Their minds were open. And I believe they were the most obedient group of men that ever were sent out. You know what they did? They went out and died claiming Jesus was resurrected from the dead and that Jesus Christ was Lord. Bless your heart. I believe they got it right. Now, when I baptize somebody, the formula I use, I say, I baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost in the name above all names, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, does it make any difference whether you're saved or not? Not a bit. Not a bit. You can be sprinkled on and poured on and dipped and held under. And it won't make any difference in your salvation.
That's right.
Now, there is a problem, and one of the reasons why we need to teach about baptism, there are many supposed Christians that believe you have to be baptized to be saved.
Right.
I went to school with a fellow named Joel Harlan. He was a pitcher in the major leagues for 15 years. And he and I were real good friends growing up. I played ball on the same teams he played it on. We won championships. Only thing, I set the bench. He pitched and I set the bench. But he became a professional ball player. And his brother, Billy, was 2 years younger than him. He was also my friend because, like I said, we were together at each other's house. Billy went on through college and became a referee for college games. And he and his crew flew in a little four-seater plane. And they flew to their different games that they went to. They just, all the time, all the week. Well, that plane crashed and killed all four of them. I went to his funeral. It wasn't done by just the local priest. It was done by the archbishop. That man said in that funeral, I sat back there and I wanted to stand up and scream. He said, saved by his baptism, 5 times. Now, that's what he said. Bill Harlan was saved by his baptism. You see, there's some people believe that you're saved. That Catholics believe that. They believe if you don't baptize a little baby, you won't really go to heaven. And what they call baptism is putting a damp cloth on his head when he's 7 or 8 years old. So we need to teach some things. The Church of Christ believes you got to be baptized. But you got to be baptized by a Church of Christ preacher. In a Church of Christ tank. I guess they got blessed water in there. Because as Brother Trinidad has said a time or two, you cannot get saved. The San Antonio water system cannot save your soul. Cannot wash away your sins. So baptism is an important thing to understand, and you better get it right with the scripture. And that's what we're doing here. The first thing that I want you to see is, first of all, baptism is in the name of Jesus. That's what the scripture shows. All right, I'd like to say there's a good reason for you to be baptized. I have known Christians. I've had them in my congregation. They claim to be saved, but they wouldn't get baptized. I've reasoned with them all over the years, and they just didn't make any difference. They just had it in their head. They didn't want to be baptized. Well, I want you to understand something. Baptism is a public confession that you've taken Christ as your Savior. And if you refuse to be baptized, somebody's going to doubt your salvation. I don't believe you have to be baptized to be saved, as some of them teach, but they do teach that. But you should be baptized. And why? Because of the example of Jesus Christ. You know what happens? Jesus Christ was baptized. Look at Matthew 3:13 through 17. Matthew 3:13 through 17. Excuse me. I can't keep my throat clear. Matthew 3:13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now in verse 13, it tells that Jesus went out to the ministry of John before he started his ministry. And when he went out to John, he went there for the express purpose of being baptized. Jesus had no sin. He said it was to fulfill all righteousness. I don't altogether understand that. Maybe some of you do and you can enlighten me. But anyway, Jesus fulfilled righteousness by being baptized by John. And it says to be baptized of him. Now John said, I really ought to get baptized by you. You need to baptize me rather than me baptizing you. And Jesus told him that to fulfill all righteousness, he needed to do this. And then in verse 16, it says, Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. Jesus was baptized. One time, Brother Trinidad preached a message on funerals, burials, whatever. And he compared the different ways that, you know, cremation, freezing, burial, crypts, and stuff like that. And the truth of the matter is, it was a good message, and I enjoyed it. Interesting. But there was one thing that really was convincing to me. God buried Moses. What did God do? Well, when he had a death to take care of, he buried him. He didn't burn him up. He didn't throw him away. He didn't feed him to the fish or to the dogs. God buried Moses. Now to me, that was just a simple thing. If God buried Moses, I'm going to be buried. That was good enough for me. But at any rate, Jesus, when he was baptized, well, if Jesus thought he ought to be baptized, you sure need to be baptized. Not to save your soul. Now you see, the Catholic Church, the Church of Christ, The Mormons baptize people for the dead, and they save some dead person out of hell by me being an elder being baptized in my congregation up here. And lots of crazy ideas about baptism. And they may have a part of a verse somewhere that you can't explain, and they major on it. But baptism does not save, at least not water baptism. But if Jesus was baptized, And you say you're a follower of Jesus Christ, why aren't you being baptized?
Right.
What are you doing holding back? Are you saved? Did Jesus die in your place? Is baptism a picture that you are now dead in Christ, buried with Christ, resurrected with Christ? Then you ought to be baptized. And you say, well, I'm a little ashamed, whatever. Well, don't be ashamed. Not ashamed of Jesus. Don't be ashamed of your stand for Jesus, nor your confession of Jesus Christ. No way. So there are a lot of different ideas about baptism, and you have to pick and choose, because there's people out there. Now, there's some people that do not baptize at all. I've met them, some very strong Christians. They believe just like you and I on how to get saved. But they don't believe anything physical should be brought into a spiritual church. They don't worry about buildings. They don't worry about musical instruments. They don't worry about anything but the Word of God and the Spirit of God. And they don't have the Lord's Supper, and they don't have baptism. That's the only two things this church has. And the reason why is Jesus commanded them to be baptized, the converts to be baptized. He didn't rescind it. You go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, and he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He had commanded them to baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. So to obey him, we have to have a physical water baptism. It is nothing more than a symbol. It is a testimony. Now, not only was it the example of Jesus Christ, but I want you to look in John chapter 4, verse 1, about 1, 2, and 3. It was the practice of Jesus. Remember, Jesus was an itinerant preacher. He was an evangelist. He traveled around. Mostly among Jews. He didn't go to the Gentiles very much. There's several instances of Gentiles coming to him and him saving them. But basically, Jesus' ministry was to the Jews. And that's what he did. Well, what kind of ministry did he have? Well, John the Baptist is known as the Baptist because he baptized. John the Baptist is not the first member of the Baptist church. As some people think. That's not true. He got the name of being Baptist because he baptized. And he was known for it. Well, look here at John chapter 4, verse 1. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John. John had a revival. Man, all the people that came out to John. I mean, even the leaders of the Jews came out there to him to listen to him. And the biggest ones out there, and sinners came to him right and left. And it was such a revival that people thought he was the Christ. Now, John would tell them, no, I'm not even worthy to unloose his shoes. I'm not worthy to take them off, and I'm not worthy to wash his feet. I'm not worthy to put them on. But what did Jesus do? He did the same ministry that John did. The ministry John was doing, Jesus carried on. He began to preach the same thing. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
Yes.
Repent. Their message was repent. John's message was repent. Jesus' message was repent. And if somebody repented, they were baptized. They were baptized under John, or they were baptized under Jesus. So Jesus' practice was to preach and to baptize the converts. So if Jesus' example was that and Jesus' practice was that, what's the matter with you? Being ashamed not to stand up and follow Jesus publicly in baptism. Now I want you to notice something here. Look at verse 2. Though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples. It's not even saying he baptized his disciples. That's saying Jesus didn't baptize anybody physically with his hands. I want you to think about it. If down in the early part of the book of Acts, somebody who was baptized by Jesus Christ personally, and somebody who was baptized by Peter or John or Paul or somebody else, well, I was baptized by Jesus. He would think he'd have him a higher calling. He'd think he'd have him a higher spot. So Jesus never with his hands baptized anybody. His disciples did the baptizing. But it was at his command. Now, Not only is it his example, not only was it his practice, but it is his command. Look back at Matthew 8, 28, 19 again. Matthew 28, 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them. That's a command. If I'm going to follow Jesus as one of his disciples, as one of his preachers, then I got to do this. That wasn't just given to the apostles, although they lived by it. Bless your heart, they lived by it. You study the history of the apostles, what you can get. And most of them were martyred. But they went around the world at the time preaching Jesus is the Messiah and he is risen from the dead. And the thing that got him in more trouble than calling Jesus the Messiah was that he was risen from the dead.
Right.
He's alive, I tell you. He's alive. He's not dead. He's alive. Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John. So that was what his practice was. But now his command is you go and teach all nations, baptizing them. I don't see any place in the Bible where that stopped. I believe, in fact, we ought to be still doing it. And that's why we do it. Look, if you will, at Mark 16, 15. Again, the same commands. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Here's the command. Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized. Baptism is the command of Jesus Christ for his disciples. If you're going to be a disciple of Jesus, the first thing you do is confess him publicly and follow him in baptism. You want to be right with God? It starts off right there. I'm not saying you can't live for God if you've never been water baptized. But let me tell you something, friend. You're hindered. And you're hindering the Lord. You might even be hindering the church. Because it was not only his practice, it was his command. There's another thing about baptism. There's several different Greek words, and I'm not going to get into them because I really don't like that. If I can't prove anything to you from the English Bible, I just probably won't prove it to you. But there are different Greek words for sprinkle, pour, and dip. Different Greek words. And the baptism you find in your Bible means dip, immerse. There's a place in the scripture in John 3:23. Look at it. I just think it's such an interesting thought. John 3:23. John also was baptizing in Aenon near to Salem. Because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized. That tickles the daylights out of me.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. If I, as your pastor to say, decided to baptize you, and my baptism was sprinkling, I could take a canteen and baptize the whole bunch of you. I wouldn't need much water. I don't need a lake. I don't need a tank. I don't need a river. I don't need an oasis. If baptism is sprinkling, some people say, well, I'm happy with my baptism when it was sprinkling. Well, you shouldn't be. Sprinkling doesn't show a funeral, you know. Sprinkling doesn't show a burial. We don't take somebody out to the grave, throw them in the ground, and sprinkle a little dirt on them. We shovel 6 foot over them. So they don't stink and come up when a flood comes along. And even then that happens. Why was John baptizing at the Jordan River? There was much water there. Why was John baptizing in Aenon near to Salem? Because there was much water there. I have seen the pictures of the baptism of Jesus that was painted by one of the artists. And they got John and Jesus standing knee-deep in the Jordan River. And John has his hand out pouring a little water on Jesus' head while they're standing knee-deep in the river. I would not get my pants wet if I didn't need to. I'd stand on the shore, reach over here and dip in and put it on him. No, they went down into the water. They needed much water. They didn't need a canteen. They needed a lake, a river, a tank, or something.
Yeah.
Because baptism is a burial. What it's a picture of, in much water. And then Acts 8:36. The Ethiopian eunuch is reading Isaiah 53. And he doesn't understand it. And so Philip is directed by the Lord to go up and help him out. And he preached Jesus unto him from Isaiah 53, which is easy to do, by the way. Isaiah 53 is one of the clearest passages on Jesus Christ being the Messiah that you can find anywhere. In fact, I had a salesman. I don't remember what he was selling, but he wanted to come into my house and give me his spiel. And I said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll trade off with you. I'll listen to you if you'll listen to me. Well, he took that up. And I listened to him. He took about 30 minutes. And then I gave him the gospel for I don't know how long. And I did, because he was a Jew, I took him to Isaiah 53, his book. And I asked him after we talked about it, I said, who is this talking about? He said, Jesus Christ, clearly. Wow. It's easy. Well, here's the Ethiopian eunuch. He's reading Isaiah, and he's in Isaiah 53, and he's reading about this suffering servant, and he doesn't know who it is. Who is this man? Who is this man? What's it talking about here? You ever read something you didn't know anything about and have to ask somebody to help you out? I have lots of times. I used to have a preacher. He was an independent Baptist preacher in Coleman, Texas. And he was an older preacher. He would have probably been about 50 when I was in my 20s. And he was a very good man, a good preacher. I loved him. And I was pastoring, and a young pastor, 24, 25, 23, something like that. And I would have problems, and I'd go over to him, and I'd interrupt him while he's doing something. And I'd say, brother, I apologize to you for taking your time. And he said, Lindell, you are my ministry. You think about that. I'm not interrupting his time, doing whatever he was doing. I was his ministry at that time. You ought to think that way. Blessed my heart. Blessed my heart every time I heard him say that. Lindell, you are my ministry. Hey, what comes your way, what God gives you to be an influence over, that's what God told you to do, what you ought to take care of. At any rate, don't know where I was. In much water. They were, as they went on the way, Acts 8:36, as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water. Both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Now listen to me. This Ethiopian eunuch is traveling in a caravan. He is the treasurer of Ethiopia. This is no mean guy. This is like some of the guys we got flying around on their own jet planes for our government. He's got a caravan. They have, maybe not barrels, but they've got skins of water. They're carrying water going through the desert. If baptism were sprinkling or pouring, they would not have had to wait till they came to a certain water.
Right.
Make sense to you?
Yep.
Baptism is immersion. You can tell it right from the English of your King James Bible. Not a problem. All right, they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Now, a certain water, that was either an oasis or a river or a lake or a tank. I baptized in a lot of places. I had one West Texas church. I baptized in a cattle tank. And when I got into it, my knees were where the mud came to. I'm down there, and I got a 300-pound woman that I had 9 people to baptize. I had a 300-pound woman. And I couldn't step back with my feet. Now, you don't understand that because you don't baptize, but you have to step back sometimes. You got to move those feet or you're going to get overloaded or whatever. And we baptized all 9, and she was last, but I put her into the water and trying to bring her out, and I couldn't get my feet back. They went to a certain water. In Guatemala, I went to several rivers. In fact, I was baptizing one person one time, and the river just carried them away from me. I baptize you. I baptized at a tank where people came and take baths, and there'd be people there just scrubbing up with baths while we were singing and praying and baptizing. And by the way, I've been in there, and there's a snake going along on the bottom. I didn't tell anybody because didn't know what it would happen, but I baptized them with that snake. You come to a certain water. You come to a certain water. And he said, what does hinder me to be baptized? And he said, what if you believe? Anyway, the point I'm trying to make with that there is takes much water to baptize. Much water to baptize. Now, another point I'd like to make about baptism, it does not come before salvation. It is not a part of your salvation. It comes after you're saved. Amen. Baptism cannot save. Amen. I don't care what some churches teach you. And by the way, any church that sprinkles babies thinks that baby needs that baptism for its soul. I don't care if you're Methodist or Lutheran or Catholic or Presbyterian or whatever it is. I would not have one of my babies sprinkled. In fact, my dad, he was a Methodist, but he wouldn't have me. He said, when you get old enough to make your own decision, fine. And by the way, the Methodist church I went to, they would sprinkle pour or immerse you. Whichever way you want it. But it comes after salvation. Go back to Acts. Chapter 8, verse 36, right where we were with the Ethiopian eunuch. And let's look at what it has to say. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here's water, what doth hinder me to be baptized? Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. They went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. Baptism is not supposed to come when you're a baby and you don't believe anything. Babies don't have faith. They cry like crazy thinking mama's deserted them. Don't they? Give them a couple hours, they want milk. They want petting. They want hugging. They're not secure. They don't have walking faith. Babies do not have faith. Now, some people say, well, we're just dedicating on the faith of the parents. Well, you're doing something Scripture does not do. Here's my thing. I told you about it at the start. One of the reasons why I do certain things, don't do other things, I've offended an awful lot of people in my life. They don't understand me. It's because of what does this book say? What does it say? I don't care what you think. I don't care how you reason. I want to know, what does this book say? And that's what I've studied out over the years. And some of you are too lazy to study out anything. Shame on you. Amen, Brother Lindell. That's good preaching. Amen. He said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. I have refused to baptize many people. Not just one or two, because they weren't saved. They couldn't give a testimony of salvation. I remember a little girl here, Mike Jackson's daughter, and she was so tiny, but she was older. And when I baptized her, I heard the criticism, he's baptizing that baby. All you had to do is walk up and talk to her. Man, she had a mind like a steel trap, and she knew what she was doing, and she was old enough to know. How old is that? I really don't know. I believe some people have been saved at 5 or 6. Others at 9 and 10. Others 16 and 17. Most people get saved before they're 25. You go past 25 not believing the Lord Jesus Christ, you're taking a real chance and percentage of never getting saved. Now, I've led a 76-year-old man to the Lord. I've led a 75, 76-year-old woman to the Lord. They're about the oldest. You're taking a chance. He said, I'm just going to let my kids grow up and make them believe whatever they want to believe. You turn them loose to the devil is what you're doing. You better guide them. They need guidance. Do the best that you possibly can. If you don't know enough, try to get somebody around to do it. But look at the Bible. What does the Bible say? And that's what I'm trying to... is that what I've given you this morning? My topic is baptism, but I'm giving it to you from the Bible. And you're welcome to prove me wrong with this book. If you prove me wrong, I'll change. I've proved that. I think it's right. Well, anyway. If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Now look at Acts 10:47. Where we were a little while ago with the Gentiles' first salvation with Cornelius and his family. What was the reasoning there? What was the reasoning of Peter? Acts 10:47. Can any man forbid water? That these should not be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we. And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord and prayed to him to tarry a certain day. Can any man forbid water? Is anyone that says, no, don't baptize them. They don't have a testimony. Don't baptize them. They're not saved. Don't baptize them. They're too young. Don't baptize them. They're Gentiles. They had a demonstration of these people's lives got changed right there. Bang. Holy Spirit just knocked Peter over. Did it several times. But sure knocked him over right here. He said, whoa. They got the Holy Spirit. What it means if you got the Holy Spirit? You're saved. Amen. If you don't have the Spirit of God in you, you're not saved. Amen. If you have the Spirit of God in you, you're saved for all eternity. You've been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. He commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Because we were looking at name a while ago when we went to this passage. But this time we're looking at salvation. You need to be saved before you're a fit candidate to be baptized. Now we allow it openly here. We give you an invitation each week. Anybody here been saved that you want to come and follow the Lord and be baptized? And if you stand up and say, well, I don't know. I don't think. I never have. Let's say, well, let's wait a little while. Wait a little while. People will come to me with their kids, and I'm talking about some really small kids. And I generally say, well, give them a little time. Give them a chance to confess the Lord themselves. Now, that is really hard for a Christian family who's in the church, raising their kids in the church coming up. And the kids see others taking the Lord's table. See, if you're not saved, you're not supposed to take the Lord's table. And you parents should keep your children from taking the Lord's table until they are saved. You hear me? If you can't tell your kid no on something and get by with it, then you're not a good parent. At any rate, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. This clears the bell. Believer's baptism. That's what it's called. It's a doctrine. Believer's baptism. We don't baptize anybody that's not a believer. If they're 5 years old and they confess to believing, well, I'm not going to hold them back. Now, another thing I want you to know, and I've mentioned it already one time, but I want to read scripture to prove it to you. Baptism, New Testament water baptism, is a picture of a funeral. Look at the little Romans, chapter 6 and verses 3 and 4. Now, the baptism that's mentioned in Romans is not water. It's spiritual baptism into Christ. But it's a picture of what baptism is. And so, it's a picture of a funeral. Know ye not that so many of us, as we're baptized into Jesus Christ, we're baptized into His death. Amen. Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Praise the Lord. What a wonderful testimony. You see, the day I got saved, somehow in the night between the last day of August and the first day of September, 1957, I got saved. And what the Holy Spirit did to me, He didn't wait for my baptism. He baptized me spiritually. He took me and put me into the death of Jesus, the burial of Jesus, and the resurrection of Jesus, and I was dead. What is this water baptism then? It's a funeral service. And it shows a resurrection. He said, know ye not that so many of us as we're baptized into Jesus Christ, we're baptized into His death. That's spiritual, that's not water. Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. That is your salvation. Your salvation is you're in Christ and Christ has paid the debt. There's no debt left for you to pay. You couldn't pay God back for what He's done for you no matter what you did. And God not looking for you to pay Him back. Amen. He knows you couldn't. Amen. But because you've been saved, you've accepted Christ as your Savior, He's paid for your sins. He's taken the law away from you, no longer condemned by the law, because you're dressed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ and you're a son of God headed for heaven. And then you won't be baptized? Oh, give me a break. What kind of life you got? It's a picture of a funeral. I want you to look at 1 Corinthians 1:13 again. And I'm going to read through 18, verse 18. I want you to notice some verses that will prove to you you don't need to be baptized to be saved. See if you can catch it. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Are you baptized, or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you, but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I had baptized in mine own name. And I baptized also the household of Stephanus. Besides, I don't know whether I baptized any other. Now, in the Corinthian church, Paul started this thing. He won a bunch of them to the Lord. And he says, you know, I got a couple of families I baptized. But people are accusing me of all sorts of things. They might even think I was baptized in my name. Baptizing in my name. Look at verse 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize. Let me tell you something. The evangelist that Paul was, if baptism had to do with salvation, he'd have said, Christ sent me to baptize. That's not what he said. He said, Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach. Preach the gospel. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Baptism cannot compare to the cross of Christ. Water baptism in anybody's church, by anybody's preacher, by anybody's priest, cannot compare to the cross of Christ. Sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Look at verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but as unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. I have some problem texts. There are a few problem texts in Scripture, but I don't have time to go over them. But I want you to understand something. Baptism does not save, but baptism is important. How is it important? Obedience to your Lord. Do you have a Lord? I've got a Lord. God, I was already a pretty good preacher and evangelist, even missionary. I went to the mission field, started a church. Many of those people are still going on. I had 10 preachers. I went back 20 years later, 7 of them are still preaching. I thank the Lord for that. Yeah, it was a blessing, a tremendous blessing to me. But a guy came back to do a work, and God wouldn't let me do it. For 5 years. 5 years. 5 years I was humbled. 5 years I looked like an idiot. 5 years I restudied these scriptures over and over and over again to see where I was wrong, why God wasn't letting me move on. After 5 years,
One day I really got mad at God. I said, God, it's not my sin. It's not my ignorance. It's not my laziness. It's you that's doing this to me. In the kitchen of my house over there on North Valley. And a cool drink of water just... And I woke up. I was sleeping that night. 2 o'clock in the morning, I woke up. Go start that church. This church. I said, no, I had too much pizza. I've been trying for 5 years. Why now, you know? I went back to bed. Next night, 2 o'clock in the morning, I woke up, wide awake. Go start that church. I said, no. No, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to make a fool out of myself. 3 nights. I went out at 3 o'clock in the morning looking for a place to rent. I drove my car out at 3 o'clock in the morning. Okay, Lord, I got it. You're talking to me now. He broke me. You know what I know? I know I don't belong to anybody else. I belong to Him. And though I would love to please you, I would love for you to think I was the nicest guy in the world. I would love for you to think I'm sweet. I can't help myself. I have a Lord. It's a real thing. I have a Lord. And I have to obey Him. Doesn't matter what you think. I'm disappointed that all the people that could be here and aren't here. Well, there ought to be 2,000 or 3,000 people within the San Antonio limits that would love a church like this. But there isn't. Because most people, and maybe most of you, don't care about doctrine. You say you do, but all you got to do is get your feelings hurt and personalities don't mean a thing. You got to go somewhere where you like the preacher or where something else. You just give up on the name of Jesus Christ, give up on a whole lot of other things just because you get mad at a preacher. Or you don't get your way. He doesn't vote the way you thought he ought to vote it. Baptism is scriptural. Baptism is right. And if you're a born-again child of God, you ought to be baptized. And I believe you ought to be baptized by immersion. Lord bless you. I'm even a little long there and I didn't get to everything. Hey, there's more. Study it. You find out a lot of things out of this book if you just put some effort out. Praise the Lord.